You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, I got to tell you, if you haven't already heard, at our website, rightsideradio.org, you can go to the top of the main page. There's a button that says Right Side Store, and you can order. Go to the Right Side Store. You can order, you know, coffee mugs, T-shirts. My favorite, I always talk about it. People kid me. Charlene says, why do you talk about the socks so much? I don't know. I get a kick out of them. But Right Side Radio socks are on there. Birdman just texted me, said we just had three orders drop in the last few minutes, and one of them was for socks. Yes. But Right Side Radio store today only for our listeners. If you're checking out and you use the promo code Valentine, you get 14% off your order. 14% off your order. So check it out. Rightsideradio.org. Click on the Right Side store, enter the promo code Valentine, get 14% off because we love you on Valentine's Day. Hey, listen, I'm going to the phones right now. My friend Justin Bogey is the fiscal analyst, director of fiscal analysis at the Alabama Policy Institute, where I am also affiliated. Justin's got a great legacy of working in fiscal analysis, but not only that, just policy analysis as well. And he wrote a piece for 1819 News that I read just over the weekend, and I thought, I got to get Justin on the show. So without further ado, I am pleased to bring on my friend Justin Bogey from the Alabama Policy Institute. Hey, Justin, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil, doing well. It's great to be with you.
Good. Well, I appreciate you being here, especially letting me ping you on a Monday morning to come on Monday afternoon. But sure. So Justin, we're doing a lot of focus on the show today and tomorrow on school choice, and it's a topic that I've harped on multiple times on the show. And I mean, you're at the Policy Institute, like I am. That school choice is literally something that we have designated as one of our conservative platform issues that we believe a true conservative candidate should be looking for.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, this is an issue we've been working on for a long time, and we feel this might be, you know, the most important issue that the legislature can tackle this session. And it's really, to us, it's a simple thing. It's giving more freedom and choice to students and parents about where they can go to school so that, you know, they can have the best type of education for them, whether that be public school, private school, homeschool, whatever, but just giving them access to what works best for them so that hopefully they can have better academic outcomes and, you know, get the most out of their education.
Yeah. And you know, when truthfully, there's nowhere to go but up in Alabama. I mean, we're 50th in the nation overall. We're 52nd in math, which is galling. But there we are. And just continuing to throw money at it. And you're the fiscal analyst. What are we looking at this year? Is it an $8.2 billion budget? Is that right?
That's what the governor is asking for, over $8 billion. And we've seen this trend, you know, I think in the last 4 years, so over the course of this quadrennium, education funding is on pace to be up over 20%. And we're throwing literally billions of dollars more into education spending than we were just a few years ago. And it really hasn't translated into better outcomes for students. So, you know, school choice is just one way to hopefully change that path and to get us turned around so that students are having better outcomes. But also a lot of other states, a lot of foreign countries have been doing this for a long time, and they're seeing that. They're seeing better results. So at this point, you know, I think it'd be a great way to you know, again, hopefully turn around those numbers and improve outcomes for students in Alabama.
Well, and it's got to happen. I mean, the reality is this, is you can't continue doing the same thing over and over again expecting a different result, because that's the old definition of insanity. And what we see right now is...
And we've been doing this for years. And again, like you said, nothing is changing. And, you know, I think there's other reforms that need to be looked at as well within the public school system. But this is certainly one piece of that puzzle towards improving the education system in Alabama as a whole.
I think we have to look at it, too, from a return on investment. I mean, if you look at dollars, if you were investing in a stock or bond or something, you know, and you kept putting money into it and it kept failing, at some point, wouldn't you pull your investment or modify your investing, you know, policies? And yet we're going to keep throwing money at education like that's going to change it this year. Okay, maybe this year. But that's what we do. We keep spending more and actually getting less.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the last year or two, for the first time, Mississippi is actually spending less money than Alabama, and they're having better outcomes. So it's really not just about money. Money doesn't always fix problems, and I think this is a perfect example of that being the case in Alabama.
Well, one of the bills that's out there right now, Justin, you're familiar with it. Senate Bill 140 is the one that's been dropped in by Senator Del Marsh that literally would say, hey, those tax dollars that we pay into the system, they can travel with the child to wherever the parent or legal guardian thinks is best for the child, as opposed to them being relegated to their zip code and whatever school they're stuck with. That's big doings.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're talking $5,600 a year or so, at least in state funding. That's what they're looking at. And I know there's been a lot of pushback that, you know, this is taking money away from the State Department of Education. But, you know, I really don't see it that way. It's letting students, or really their parents, have more freedom over where they can go. It's setting up an education savings account. You're getting that $5,600 that the state would be using to pay for your education at a public school anyways, and you're just having the freedom to choose how that money is being used. So again, I think that's a great option. And, you know, some public schools aren't good. Some public schools maybe are too big and don't fit certain students who need a smaller learning environment. So it really just gives them a lot of flexibility into what they can do, which is what we should be all about.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the things that really caught my attention, and I had heard this, by the way, I think some people might have been in the same meeting that you're referencing in your 1819 piece, but you have an 1819 piece, 1819news.com. It's titled, No, Mr. Ledbetter, It's Not Too Late for the Legislature to Debate Important Issues. Tell me what the genesis of that was and what it means.
Yeah, so House Majority Leader Ledbetter, when asked about the school choice bill, he basically said that he wasn't sure they would have time to debate it in the House this year. You know, it looks like it's going to be debated in the Senate in some form. It's already made it through committee. But Representative Charlotte Meadows has a companion bill in the House, and he said he just wasn't really sure that we'd have time to do that, which is interesting when it came at a time when I believe there were still 25 legislative days left when Senator Marsh dropped this bill. Meadows dropped her bill the next day, so from that standpoint, it seemed like there was plenty of time, and with something so important, you would make time for it. And, you know, he said it needed to be vetted, and I think everyone agrees that there should be ample debate on the bill, but this isn't coming out of left field. Senator Marsh, this is the third time in 4 years he's introduced some kind of school choice bill. As I mentioned, lots of other states are doing it, so it's not really a foreign concept here. So, you know, if it's something important that they wanted to take up, they should have time to do it. Which kind of leads you to question, why aren't they, especially in light of some of the other bills that we're seeing moving right now?
Yeah, and you know, and regards to other bills moving right now, I mean, you can eat and chew gum at the same time, and I'm not worried at all about whether they pass what I would consider to be a lesser, less controversial bill, because those don't take all the debate. But nonetheless, the idea that you don't have time for a substantive bill is a complete misnomer. That is not accurate. You have plenty of time for it. How long did it take them, Justin, to pass that gas tax? How long was that? Like 8 days?
It seemed like it was a special session that lasted, what, 5 days, so pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it was like on an epic scale in terms of speed. People, I mean, it was like flying in a Huey helicopter with the doors open and your face is blowing as they got that bill passed, and now they can't even debate.
We just saw it with the stimulus funding, you know, a couple of weeks ago in the special session too. You're talking $700+ million, and they figured out how to spend it in 5 days. So when they want to move quickly, they can, and you know, to them, those were important bills. So I just don't think that's really a legitimate argument.
It's not a legitimate argument, and you were good to point it out. So I appreciate you grabbing hold of that and writing about it on 1819. So yeah, well, Justin, tomorrow is School Choice Day. I think you're going to be down there too, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm planning on being there. I'm excited about it. I know you've got some great speakers lined up who are going to try to tell everybody how important this is, which is exactly what we need to be doing. So maybe the legislature will realize how important it is and make sure to move on it.
Well, and we got to, because right now what I'm hearing being said by some legislators who just need an excuse is that they're not hearing from anybody. All they're hearing from is the AEA and the school board. And you know what that means. They're hearing the no's. So, school choice day tomorrow, 11:30 on the steps of the State House in Montgomery, followed by, you know, walking the halls and just shaking hands and politely telling legislators why it's so important to have some school choice. Hey, Justin, thanks for being on today, man. I appreciate your time as always.
Thanks for having me, and we'll see you in Montgomery tomorrow.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow, man. That's Justin Bogey, Director of Fiscal Analysis for the Alabama Policy Institute. We're talking about school choice today. He will be with me tomorrow, among others, at the School Choice Day in Montgomery. If you've got time on your hands, if you're a believer in school choice, if you're a proponent of making sure that parents have a right to a say in their child's education, whether it be going to private school, homeschool, you know, open enrollment for public schools, whether it be charter schools, whether it be the opportunity for education savings account, whatever the case may be, there's different versions of school choice. But right now, what do you have? You have very little choice. Very little. Well, Copper, move us to a break. We'll go ahead and do that and come back and keep talking on this. And coming up now at 3:30, just be aware, a guy named Matt Frindui from the Excel in Education. He's a national vice president for Excel in Education. We'll be on with us to talk about school choice in general and the way forward for states like Alabama. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Got a couple of callers who held on during the break, and I appreciate that. So let me go ahead and grab, I'll take line four, Judy from Harvest. Hey, Judy, Phil Williams on Right Side. How are you today?
Oh, great and all that. We like your show very much. The reason I'm calling is I've read, and it was interesting your guest speaker said this, the level of education achieved by states, I looked at a decades ago, has nothing to do with how much money is allocated to the educational system.
That's right.
There is no relationship. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes. And you're absolutely correct, too, by the way.
Okay. Well, how to fix the system is so easy. There is a book in the library called The Brainy, like you have a big brain bunch. None of the 10 children are certified as geniuses. Six or seven, because I lost count, of the oldest children have all begun taking college courses between the ages of 10 and 12. Youngest female doctor in America, one of their daughters. Youngest member of the American Institute of Architects, another one of their kids, and so on. And this is what their method is. They don't allow them to do much schoolwork. They look at them, talk to them, see what God has put in them to want to be or to know, and that's all they study. And they go to places like UCLA when they get old enough and things of that nature. Do you wow. get what I'm saying here?
I do. What you're saying is the parents have a direct involvement in the child's education, and rather than taking the kid and putting them into a cookie-cutter education system, they let the education system be adapted to the child.
Exactly. And also, just for fun, other statistics, the lowest of all systems to teach a child, the lowest amount, number of, lowest scores on SATs, that's the government schools called public schools. Up above them comes private schools. And at the top, and they're way up above the government schools, and at the very top, the average SATs achieved by homeschoolers are even higher than the average private schoolers. And this is very key. Most of those teachers, like I was, we homeschooled ours, don't have an education degree. That has nothing to do with educating your child.
Hey, and just so you know, by the way, Judy, while you were talking on the air there, I just got a text from Caitlin in Madison who says that she wrote a paper in grad school that showed the exact same thing you just said. So affirmation for you while you're even on the air. How about that? Hey, Judy, thanks for the call very much.
Another call, give you my background educationally and why I say the things I say. Oh, okay. And one last thing.
Yes, ma'am.
The alternative to just giving all the children only what they want to learn is to use at least things like Saxon math, and which is not a Christian product, or use the materials used in your private schools because they're not dumbed down and idiotic like the government school materials. And fire all the teachers and give them a one-year test if they can teach anybody, then they're allowed to come back and stay on.
Well, now you got crazy on me, but I know I get it. And Judy, I got another caller on the line, so let me grab that. But thank you so much for the call. You sound like a right-side ruffian. I'm glad you're in the audience. All right, listen, let me go to line three before I run out of time. Rex from Athens. Oh, this is Rex who's running for state school board, I believe. Rex, how you doing, man?
That's right. How you doing? Wonderful show. Good information.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'm for school choice, no doubt. I just wish 140 was written better. They need to take the strings off as much as possible. That's going to scare homeschoolers away. I think homeschoolers are being eliminated, which I'm not really happy with.
No, and I'll tell you, Rex, one of the things that bothers me is apparently some homeschoolers got alarmed and raised, you know, the hue and the cry because they don't trust government as a general rule, but there was never any intent to maximize government intrusion on homeschools. So, yeah, if homeschools get taken out of the bill, it's because the homeschoolers themselves said, take us out, and that's being done to help, you know, accommodate their concerns. But I agree with you. I would hope that homeschoolers would have kept it in. Just take out the testing. Don't take out the homeschools.
Yeah, I'm a protester though, and I don't want the testing to be linked to the kid in any way where you have some kind of document that shows the kid did poorly in school. But testing is important for a baseline anyway.
Well, it certainly is.
We have to have some testing.
It certainly is, and so you're running against Wayne Reynolds, who was on the show, I guess a week or so ago. He is not in favor of the elements of school choice that are being touted in Senate Bill 140, but it sounds like, generally speaking, as a premise, you are, maybe with some tweaking to the bill itself, but you're generally in favor of that type of education savings account?
Money with the child, period.
Money with the child.
School choice, yep. Big time transparency. Let the schools, we need to see what the schools are teaching. It needs to be available, easily available online. And, you know, and pay for failure. If a high school graduates a child and the child can't pass an entrance exam within a year for a college, then that high school should have to pay for remediation.
Wow. Wouldn't that be a hoot? Making the public school pay back the time that was invested with their tax dollars and failing to do something worthwhile. I think they would, you know, that would be a tough nut, Rex. I mean, I'll be honest with you, as a lawyer, I can tell you right now that I can see right away the defense to that would be, we gave them everything they chose not to study, or the parents weren't involved, or whatever else. But nonetheless,
you gave them a diploma.
Well, that's a great point. You gave them a diploma when you should have known when they were leaving. Rex, hey, man, thanks so much. We'll have you on the show more often. And school choice today, tomorrow at the State House at 11:30 if you want to come down. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, we got Matt Frendui, the National VP for Strategic Communications for Excel in Education, a school choice advocacy group that is nationwide in scope. We'll be right back with more of the same on Right Side Radio.